We're in lesson 72 in the book of Ephesians. And if you're listening, and by the way, of our website, we appreciate you listening and all. But last lesson, I didn't deem it lesson 72, but it was actually lesson 71. But this is lesson 72. So we're looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Those verses are describing the characteristics of the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. What is saying verse 18 we went over, and be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is really the results, the concrete evidence of that activity of the Word of God working in you. Now there's three things here if you think about it, and we're going to talk about them for a little bit. Number one is a joyful heart, and that's verse 19. Number two is a thankful attitude. That's verses 20. And then number three is a submissive spirit. And that's verse 21. But being filled with the Spirit has to do with something that is real in your relationship to God, the Holy Spirit, that produces these things. If you don't have an intimate relationship with God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, you don't know what this is talking about. You're forcing some situations on you that you think the Holy Spirit is doing. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Hold your finger there and go to Colossians chapter 3. Now, what do you know about the comparison between the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians?
Sister books.
That's what we call them, sister books or sister epistles. You can pretty much lay them together and get a good comparison about it, right? So it kind of mirrors each other. And so now there's something you want to see that is a regard of being with the book of Ephesians and Colossians. You're in Ephesians 5:18. You know, we just read it. Be filled with what? The Spirit, right? That's what. Now, Colossians. Now, look. Wait a minute. Before we go to Colossians, you're still in Ephesians, right? Ephesians 5:22 says, carefully, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wife. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them. Now from Ephesians 5:22 all the way down to chapter 6 verse 9, it describes a relationship, a social order, if you will, between wives, husbands, children, fathers, and masters. Okay, it's laid out there. But he says be filled with the Spirit. It will affect the results of that kind of relationships in those circumstances. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to know how to treat your wives. Wives, you're going to know how to treat your husbands, and so on and so on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourself unto your what? Own husband, okay? Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. 3:20, children, obey your parents. 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. 22, servants, obey in all things your master. Chapter 4, verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. You see the comparison between Ephesians and Colossians? Colossians does not have that much of detail as a book of Ephesians does, but it's still that order of that social order that's listed that we read in Ephesians. Got it? That's why they're sisters. That's why they mirrored to each other. So you got parallels through the passages. Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and unto the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, you there, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, where did you just read that at? Okay, you just read Ephesians, right? Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word and or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Where did you just read that?
Ephesians
chapter 5. Now those verses in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, is the exact parallel that you were, but some little different words, with verses that we was reading in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, what does verse Colossians 3:16 says? Let the what?
Word
of Christ dwell in you what?
Richly.
When the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you get the exact same results as you get when you're filled with the Spirit. With me? You get the words of filled with Spirit. And the exact same results in Colossians when the word dwells in you richly are the exact same thing you get in Ephesians when you're filled with the Spirit. I do not separate the word of God separated from the Holy Spirit. The words comes off the page. It's the word of God. And it gets down in you. It affects your spirit, don't it? Those words. Now, you know the old saying, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals what? C. Correct? That's what they say. I'm still scratching my head about it, but I guess it's all same formula. You know, I have to take my shoes off sometimes, you guys. You know that, just to count past 20. But look, so if you're being filled with the Spirit equals results in verses Ephesians chapter 5, and the words of Christ dwelling in you richly equals the results in verses in Colossians chapter 3, then the results are the same in Ephesians and Colossians. Would you agree?
Yeah. Would you say the one method, if not the most important method then, based on these two passages, is how to get that word in you is by singing?
Well, we'll get to that shortly. Okay. You know, the thing is, but it's the words, you know? So look. So when you think about it, is let the word of Christ, so what it's saying, same thing, just another way of saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being filled with the Spirit is identical with letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay? That's why I try to be a word man. I believe words mean what they say and say what they mean. And I try to shoot straight with people all the time, whether I'm training people in the truck or just talking with them about religion. And once I find out where you are and you're so stubborn and you know, bent to go that route, I'm going to be bent where I'm at. And I know that might not be love, but I'm bold in my speech and I'm not going back down with what the Word of God say. So the Holy Spirit of God today works indirectly through the Word of God resonant in the soul of a believer. And being filled with the Spirit does not have anything to do with this room turning dark and some hoodoo spiritual aspect coming down and your back of your spine gets tingling. That ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about. That ain't the Word of God doing that. And it's not that you get a shiver or some lightning experience and visions and dreams and that kind of business. And that's happening in the religious systems out there. We was talking about some preachers on the radio and TV stuff. They built their empire off that. Mm-hmm. They built their empire off of being spiritual show business. You know, that type of thing. Yeah. And people, oh man, I got to have that experience. And they beat themselves up day in and day night, not be able to speak in tongues, not be able to walk on pews, not be able to handle snakes, and that type of stuff. I'm not going to tempt it. I'm not going to stick my hand in a rattlesnake den. Because I know that rattlesnake's going to bite me. And chances are I'm going to die. Anyway, yeah, you might say I'm meaner than a striped snake. What do they used to say? He's meaner than a striped snake and twice as deadly. You don't mess with him. You know, striped snakes, most of them are deadly. You know, but anyway, when you do that, being filled with the Spirit does not have to do with anything, something about falling down. You've seen all this stuff. You've probably been involved in it in half your life and stuff. But the thing is, you can go to meetings. You can't go to meetings and pray, oh God, pray that the Spirit will fall on us today. You ever, you know, you can do it. But what Spirit is going to fill you up? And listen, guys, if I said this once, I said it 1,000 times. Your human spirit is very powerful. And your human spirit can make you do things and make you say things and make you go after things. But the Spirit of God that dwells in you richly, and you got the Word in you richly, it's going to make you think differently. It's going to make you act differently. It should. But look, today, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of believer, and the Holy Spirit doesn't fall down into a room. It isn't like He's floating around fog in a room and waiting to zap you, you know, that type of thing.
He's here.
What's that? But anyway,
they always say, he's here.
Yeah. How do you tap into that? You know, we was over at a brother's church yesterday, and it was built by Jehovah's Witnesses, and you couldn't get a signal in there. And I'm going like this. I'm like, man, they must be lead in these walls. They don't want to let the Spirit in or Spirit out that built this place. You know what I mean? So how is He going to go through those walls? But the point is, the two things are equal, guys. This is the issue. And God, the Holy Spirit, works indirectly through His Word. And to be filled with the Spirit has to do with having the Word of God dwell in you richly. And whether we might get to the fact whether it's through songs or hymns or prayers, but it's dwelling in who?
You.
You. You know, if I didn't have a melody in my heart, which is the Word of God, I don't know how to sing the words of God. I would be singing Hank Williams Jr. You know what I mean? And I love Hank Williams Jr. Yeah, and that type of thing. But look, expressly, being filled with the Spirit is something that we really need to understand. He is not talking about getting more of the Spirit. You know, Ken's got more Spirit than Dan does. And Dan's got more Spirit than I do. It's not saying that. We've done talked about inheritance, hadn't we? We've done talked about who you are in Christ Jesus. You're saved, you're sealed, you're sanctified. You've got a position in Christ, okay, that can never be taken away. But this is talking about right now. He's talking about being filled with the Spirit instrumentally. The Holy Spirit fills us with some things that takes place of wine, wherefore in excess. You ever notice that most places, you know, you go to, down home they had ABC stores, alcohol beverage control. You had to go there to buy your liquors and stuff like that. But you know, what did the old people used to call that type of stuff? Not booze, spirits. You know, and they still do, distilled spirits. And you think about that, you know, you take a fifth and you say, oh, I'm just going, the next thing you know, you've done drunk half that fifth, you're going to be in a strange spirit world. And we talked about the Indians and stuff, you know, they wouldn't give Indians alcohol, right? Supposedly, right? Because why? The spirit, they get in a different type of spirits. But I think about this a little bit. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, it is like the following illustration. Thank you. Tom, I want you to go in the back of the building. You don't have to. And I want you to fill the tub with a hot water hose. With the water hose. Okay? So what are you going to do? You're going to go back there and grab a water hose and fill the tub, right? Now,
put a whole bunch of hoses in the tub.
That'd be quicker, unless you had a fire hose. But what is it he's supposed to put in the tub?
Water.
Okay. Is he going to use the hose to fill the tub with water?
Yeah. Well, that'd be faster.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if I say, fill the tub with the hose. Okay. I mean, put the water in a tub using the hose. You know that. You can fill a tub with a hose, but I asked you to fill it with what?
Water.
So you understand that the word with can be used in a sense of it being the instrument of the hose to get the water in the tub. With me? Be filled with the Spirit. You're using the hose as the instrument to put the water into the tub. It's a whole lot faster sometimes than buckets. Because you have to run to that. You know what I'm saying. Whatever it takes to fill the hose up. Ephesians 5, the believer is being filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense of having the Spirit fill us or saturate us in our lives. With what?
The Word.
The Word of God. See, so the Word, the Holy Spirit being filled with the Word of God's been, and the Holy Spirit is the hose who takes the Word of God and saturates our life with the Word. You know, that's why it's very important that words comes off the page, illuminates off the page, and hears in the soul of the hearer and gets down. Those Holy Spirit is using that to get the words in us. Whether through songs, hymns, spiritual songs, that type of thing, or the Word of God. But look, it has to do with the Spirit of God taking the things of Christ and applying them to our lives. How else do you take the words of Christ that dwell in you richly? How do you take circumstances that when Christ walked this earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're going to live the way He lived? And you're going to feed the people He fed? And you're going to do the things He did? You know, I talked with a lady yesterday. She's talking to another person that's supposedly her cousin down in southern Ohio that's caught up in charismatic and baptism and stuff like that. And she was talking about baptism. And he's just like, it's water, 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 water. Well, I heard a great illustration yesterday. If you take a piece of cloth, okay, just a white piece of cloth, and you had a red dye, and you take that piece of cloth and you put it in that dye, D-Y-E, not D-E, not D-I-D,
D-I-E.
Look, okay, and you pull that cloth out, what does that cloth look like?
Red.
Red, or pink, whatever. It's saturated. That's what baptism is. You're being saturated. You're being the Word of God richly dwelt. You're saturating that whole piece of cloth. You with me? That's why the Word of God indwells. So if you got the Word of God going inside of you and indwelling you richly, it's going to saturate you, isn't it? So it has to do with the Word of God. It has to do with the Word of God controlling our walk and our lives. The Spirit filling and dominating and controlling our action to the glory of God. By taking the Word of God and making it dominate in our thinking. You know, if you think about this right now, are you complete in Christ?
Yeah.
Are you seated in heavenly places? Are you joint heirs? Mm-hmm. You know, you have everything all up front. But when you walk out this door, does that world make you feel that way? No. That world makes you feel unworthy. Who are you? You can't get a job. Or you can't do this. You can't do that. And if it works on you, don't it? I mean, it can really devastate people. No wonder they get depressed. And no wonder they got, you know, they want to stay home and hide. Or you don't want to face anybody. You know, that world out there is not going to give you anything pleasing to God. But you know who you are. You can walk out there and say, you ain't got nothing on me. I'm going to be who I am in Christ no matter what position I have. You know? So it's dominating, controlling. Being filled with the Spirit is the same thing of having the Spirit God takes the words of Christ and calls them to live in us and our thinking and our mentality. That's hard to do. But if you remind yourself of that, you might not talk to somebody as bad as you think. You might get out of yourself every once in a while. And it's not about me. It's about the Word of God. It is to have the Word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly. And dwell means to settle down and feel at home. We talked about that already. And every time you think about that word dwell, you think about that expression. How's that Word of Christ dwelling in me? How is that? You know, do we just pick a Bible up once a week, right before church? Oh, Ed's going to talk about Ephesians today. I better read. He's not out of verse 18 yet, so I guess I'm going to read verse 19. Or do you say, you know something? How else is God the Holy Spirit going to get inside of you? We say to people, make yourself a home, don't we? We say that all the time. Take your shoes off. Make you feel at home. So being filled with the Spirit, that's what it means. It is the Spirit of God taking the Word of Christ and making you feel at home in every area of your life. Every area. It's not like a smoke-filled room, but it's like that tub being filled with that hose. The hose is not what we are putting in the tub. It's the water that we're putting in the tub. And the hose is the instrument of that being used to put water in the tub. And the Holy Spirit is the instrument by whom the Word of Christ is caused to dwell in you richly. How else are you going to get the words of God if it don't come from the Holy Spirit putting it in you? Now, there's different versions out there, ain't there? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until around the, 1800s or so these new versions, revisions was coming out. Okay? If you really think about that, and if they try to take away the word dispensation, and they take out the word blood, and they take the word Christ out, and they take the word Paul, a servant of, that type of thing. You ever thought that was a direct attack against dispensational truths? Because if they can hide that in those versions, you'll never know that you're in a dispensation of grace, ever. So, my thought pattern is, you better know the Word, and if it dwells in you richly, you can discern what's what. And I'm thankful for pamphlets and other people that lay those positions out for us to so you won't have to search it and see it's true. It's there. And it says, somebody might say, well, why don't we say that we are filled by the Spirit? Right? Why don't you say, well, why ain't by the Spirit? And that would be about the same thing, but it still wouldn't be clear. You still have to understand the explanation with the Spirit. So if you are to be filled by the instrument, and however you want to say it, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and making the Word of God control and dominate your life. You know what happened in Acts chapter 2, didn't you? In Acts chapter 2, those people were brought under the control and automatically through the intervention of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And were controlled and the program that God had in effect at that time. They weren't going around it. God had that in effect. And you seek towards being controlled by and move towards being controlled by the program that God has in effect today. That's what people do. They seek to do that. When Paul says be filled with the Spirit, he is not saying to pray and let something fall down on you. He's not saying that. It's a command, by the way. We talked about that last lesson. But this is what happens in Acts chapter 2. They were waiting for the thing to fall on them. And that's not what happens to operation today. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God today in a way that they were in Acts chapter 2. You can't do that. The results won't be the same. You do understand that, don't you? Mm-hmm. When being filled, the thing is, be filled with the Spirit is a continuing, every moment command. It's not a one-time fix that I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, I'm full, I'm out of the road. You ever filled up your tank and went to Myrtle Beach? Mm-hmm. You got there on a tank, didn't you?
No.
No. You know, you had to stop if you drive what Dan drives, just you know, or what I drive, you stop three times, or at least twice, okay? You know what I mean? You drive something what my brother drives, he 1,500 miles on a tank.
You know, faith is the currency that needs that.
So what do? You stop and get gas. It's a continuing thing that you know what you're going to do. So, they were waiting on something to fall on. It is something that you are commanded to attain. We are today. It is something that you could attain, and then it is, and it wouldn't be a command. If he came down on you and zapped you and caused you to walk in his statues like he's going to, and what they did, they was filled with the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, then it wouldn't be a command. You understand that? We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So that's a continuing thing that we're going to have to be filled with, because, you know, it's not like you're going to run empty. But I do know this, people that are saved today, that trust Christ, buried, rose again, died, buried, and rose again, they're saved. Okay? They're sealed. But supposedly they don't follow right division as a command. Supposedly they just go on and, you know, do whatever they want to do and join a religious system and do whatever man told them to do. How are they filled with the Spirit today? They're not filled with the same Spirit you and I filled if we believe the commandments of the Lord, that Paul wrote as commandments of the Lord. So if you follow right division and be filled with the Spirit on a daily renewal of who you are, you being constantly filled. It's not a one-time filler up, keep on trucking cafe. You know what I mean? You have to be continuous filled because situations change. The decisions you make change. The world changes. So you got to be prepared. Look at this. You and I have a command as a goal to obtain to and to press towards. That's why he says in Philippians chapter 3, I'm trying and I'm pressing towards a mark. But that's something that I've already attained. I haven't obtained it yet. That's one of my favorite verses. Keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling God. I love that. Philippians 3. You know, I'm pressing towards. I'm not already there. I'm pressing towards that mark. And how do you keep pressing?
Stay in the Word.
Being filled. When John chapter 20, talking about the relationship of John 20. Go to John 20. John 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 22. Christ is talking to the 10 of his apostles, and he says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted to them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He breathed on them, guys. And there are those who teach that at that moment they received the Holy Spirit. And if it's true, only 10 of them got the Holy Spirit. So Thomas wasn't there. So I'm just going to wait for Thomas to get the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? That's not true. The fourth commission that he gives them, the fourth commission, he gives them five post-resurrection commissions. And this is one of them. And each one of those commissions has a function and a time frame in which it was to be carried out. You know, they got a purpose. Each one of them had to be carried out after Acts chapter 2, by the way. And each one of them goes into reality there. He says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." This is one sentence, one statement by Christ. And that authority that he gives them to go into effect when they receive the Holy Spirit. Now that's true in Acts chapter 2. And if you think about it, you don't see anything that prior to Acts chapter 2. With me? This is post-resurrection stuff. So Thomas wasn't there. In John 20:24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He shows up 8 days later and sticks his hand in Christ's side. And Thomas is present with the opportunity, and what? Guess what he does? Did he deny or did he believe? He believed. And we always call doubting Thomas, right? Unless you touch him and all that. He believes. But as those 12 apostles already had the Holy Spirit, Jesus doesn't blow his breath on Thomas and says, you know, in order to him to get the Holy Spirit, he don't do that. So he introduced the passage of that statement in the application of them receiving the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. This is what's going on there. Another passage in John chapter 7. We've got a few more minutes. Bear with me. Nice and warm in here today. We got lights on. Chapter 7, verse 37, 38. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Holy Spirit is going to flow out of the guy. Going to flow. In verse 39, "But this sake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, the Holy Ghost was not yet given." Because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. The Holy Spirit does not come down until after Christ ascends into heaven. And he says, "I have to go away," John 16, "in order for him to come to you." And he is talking to 11 apostles there when he says that. Okay? Why would you need the Holy Spirit if God the Son was there? You with me? Why? He's the King. He's going to give them everything. That's why people talk about healing and, you know, all that stuff. They don't know the real issue of it, I don't think, because you have to be made whole to get in the kingdom. There's nobody going there halfway. That's why when he touched people, they was made whole. He's the King. He's giving them everything. The Holy Spirit don't have to be there. He is God. With me? So he does leave. And just, him saying all those things, and then 3 or 4 days later, turning around and making like those things never was true, when he says he breathed on them. He says, "I have to go away so he can come unto you." He sent him a comforter. And you ever notice that some people don't believe unless they see it to be true? "I don't believe until I see it happen." Do you really want to see it happen? You know, I, in my mind, and I shared this with you about the statistics of there's 38% chance that I'm going to have an incident on the fourth quarter. When they told me that, I'm like, what's going on in my mind? Do I really want to see what the incident might be? You know, it could be a fender bender. It could be, you know, anything. You know what I mean? But I'm thinking, I don't want to see that. I want to prepare my mind in my spirit that I'm not going to have that incident. I'm going to live off the 62% that I'm not going to do. But the thing is this, the doctrine that says that they lead, there's a doctrine that says that he had the Holy Spirit, then the Pentecost they received the power. But the doctrine is they're trying to attempt to explain how you and I today who have the Holy Spirit can also receive power. Oh, you got the Spirit, but do you got the power? You know? There's always something there. There's nobody ever satisfied with the Word of God and with what Christ is doing today, and that you make the choices to live godly based on who you are in Christ. But no, you can't be saved if you're acting like that. You ain't got the power. Power for what? Fill my gas tank up. That's power. Zap that engine where it gets 90 gallons of gas, 90 miles a gallon, you know, that type of thing. I'm just being ugly, but I'm, you know, just, but anyway, it's just a conclusion of any understanding about the reality happened on the day of Pentecost. This is the reason, if you think about it, Ephesians chapter 5 is not Acts chapter 2. You know, we were talking about a while ago, but it's very clear you know that that people say the church, the body of Christ, started in Acts chapter 2. That's an error. I don't care how you slice it. It said they was added to the church daily. If you're added to something, did that something just begin or something was already there? And there was three churches in your Bible. There's church in the wilderness, there's the kingdom church, and there's the church, the body of Christ. And that church in the wilderness started with Moses. And it's following through the real church that Israel's supposed to follow. And then John the Baptist sitting there calling them out. He wasn't downtown Jerusalem belling up with people at the bar. He was calling them out of that adulterated system. And the Lord Jesus Christ continued it. Think about this. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You know, we might study the book of Acts one day if the Lord tarries, and we can get more involved in this. But he says, verse 18, Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The word ye is understood there. The subject is the local church at Ephesus. That's who he's talking to. It is plural, you. And you, the church, be filled. Got it? That is a corporate filling of the Spirit as well as the individual filling of the Spirit. If you wasn't here, we don't have membership, so to speak. You know, I don't have you to sign anything and, you know, that type of thing and see you W-2s and W-4s and, you know, all that stuff. We don't do that. I believe if you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, buried, rose again, you're placed into the body of Christ. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. You with me? So when you come here corporately, you're part of Dispensational Bible Church. But you also individually are part of what? The church, the body of Christ, which is far better. But think about this. The corporate filling, just as the corporate sense in which the local church is the temple of God, you have to have a local church. You have to have a local church. Isn't it much better to come here and see each other corporately and know each other what you're doing and what kind of week you had and praising God and even some, you know, bad things that happened to you, we can find out what's going on. We said we're going to pray for you, Sherry, that type of thing. Isn't it far better than that than being sitting at home, you know, watching some TV evangelist? You can't get nothing like out of that. Some of you think you can, but it's just not the same. You got to be corporate. You got to come with a body of believers. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, and I think we went over this before, But 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, where's the Holy Ghost at?
Inside of us.
And where's the temple? Know you not that you are the temple of God? Mm-hmm. You're like, wow. You know, I'm thinking. So, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the body of the believer is the residence of God the Holy Spirit. You are not your own no more. You're bought with a price. So, I can't live like I want to live. I shouldn't. Even in this world, guys, the things that I want, the things my wife wants, you know, and we should be on the same page, no? Yes? No? Okay, let her have her chapter and I have my chapter. Have her bank account and I have my bank account. No. You know, you should want the same things. And you should be pressing towards the same things. But sometimes we're not, are we? Sometimes we're far off. And then I sit down and I'm thinking, this is what she's talking about. You know what I mean? Because if you don't go make that goal, I can't get the things I want. Because it's, you know what I mean? So that's flesh. But I'm just saying, but you should be thinking about some things. And it says, know you not. It says, but this is also true of the local church. The gathering together of the believers is the temple of God. And verse 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye plural, the church of Corinthians, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, the local church. So not only it dwells in you, it dwells where? In the local church. You know how many people would not believe that God the Holy Spirit is here today because you're meeting in a dispatch station?
Religious people.
You know, a lot of people says there ain't no way he's down in that motel room. He's down here in this big, fine, you know, $1 million building.
Stained glass.
Because why? The evidence has got 1,600 people. The evidence has got 500 people. You got 30 people? There ain't no way, God. And you look at them like, you have no idea, guys. You know, you have no idea what you're talking about. God is inside in the believer. And it says, and that Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man, any individual defile the temple of God, how can he defile it? What he's been talking about in the passage before this one, he's talking about bad doctrine, guys. Bad. That's how you defile that temple. That's if you don't think your mind grab a hold of some doctrine. We was talking the other day about how can people grasp a hold of this message and then turn back the way they once was. How can a grace preacher like myself believe this message and decide I'm not going to teach it anymore? I'm going to go back to my old ways. You know, it's flesh and don't want responsibility. Mm-hmm. And they don't get that word of God in you. If you keep that word of God in you, don't it convict you? Mm-hmm. Don't it convict you like, oh man. And that, I'm not saying you follow your heart. Your heart's deceitful. And it's not saying, hey, this is common sense. Common sense, sometimes it's not common to people. That's why you got to have the word of God. And it says, he's talking about bad doctrine there. And him, the individual, shall God destroy. That bad doctrine will destroy your soul and your position in Christ. You're still saved. But those rewards we talked about, that those inheritances, and the evidence of doctrine a man is building up is going to be destroyed. I watched these people. And they were so powerful in the word and the teaching and stuff. And now all of a sudden they're just miserable. And they got you over here. The body of Christ going over here. And where's the hope? Where's the blessed hope, guys?
Out of here.
They don't believe that no more. And you watch them and you're like, how can you do that? But if you understand the world and you understand your people's mind, you understand human wisdom, they attack every aspect of who you are. That's why you better encourage yourself to study these things out. Don't believe me. Believe the Word of God. And we've seen our own loved ones depart. And you're like, and you still love them because they're still, you know, who they are. But it's just like the doctrine. But look, remember Ephesians. Romans 14. The meat destroys not the work of God. He is talking about the building up the soul that the God is doing there. And then we talked about if any man defiles the temple of God, God will destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And the passage is talking about the temple is the assembly. And you individually are the temple of God. Where does God dwell at? Indwell? In you. He has a residency in you. He's setting up camp. He's setting up his home. He's kicked his shoes off. He's inside every one of us. And how do we tap into that? You know, what is it?
The Word.
The Word. And it's and speaking to yourself, that believers in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Those three consequences, those three manifestations of being filled with the Spirit. And we'll pick up there next week about speaking to yourself. And it's not talking about speaking in tongues. And we'll get to that next week. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.